about it for a few moments and use those texts that are printed there for you, Romans 1, Corinthians 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, and just have a little think for a couple of minutes. How serious is gossip? Is this a serious issue or not? So how serious is it? If it's serious, why is it serious? What do those texts tell you? You can look at any of those texts and you'll probably get the general idea. So talk to your neighbor, talk to anybody. And the texts are all at the back. Really easy to find. So hopefully you've at least had time to read the text, even if you haven't got into analyzing them greatly. So how serious is gossip? What makes you think that it's very serious? What from any of those texts would make you think it's serious? It's mentioned a fair bit. Yep. It's in a list of very other serious things. Where is it in a list of very other serious things? In the Bible, yes. Let's narrow it down a little bit. New Testament. Romans. What's going on in Romans 1? Yeah. So not only is it included in a list of serious sins, it's listed as a fundamental symptom of people who suppress the truth and are being given over to a depraved mind. So if you look at the kind of the whole Romans 1 context, gossip is perhaps surprisingly included in this list of vices, which are all kind of outworkings of God giving us over to a depraved mind. Perhaps I'll move this rather than try and kick that. Given over to a depraved mind. So they become full of every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. And you think, okay, I get that, evil. And then it goes on to say they're slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. And then sandwiched in between there is they have become gossips. And you think, that's not as bad as all the other things, is it? That's not being given over to a depraved mind. That's just a little bit of careless talk. So it's pretty serious. It's a symptom of those who suppress the knowledge of the truth. And what does 2 Corinthians 12 and 1 Timothy 5 kind of suggest to you that's even more serious? Because that kind of, in a way, Romans 1 is talking about the non-Christian world, the whole cycle of evil, the whole process, rather, of evil kind of working its way out. That's Romans 1. So what do the other two texts teach you? Happens in the church. What's the Corinthians 1? How does the Corinthians 1 seem similar to the Romans 1? Yeah, it's not quite the same list, but there's quite a lot of overlap with the list. It's kind of in a list of vices. And Paul's saying, look, you guys in Corinth, I'm afraid that when I get there, you're going to be displaying just the characteristics that people who suppress the truth are displaying. And included in that list is gossip. So it definitely can be present in the church. What does the 1 Timothy text talk to you about? Come on. It talks about women, but women doing what? Gossiping. Yeah, being idle. So using their time not to serve people, not to love people, not to care for people, not to sort out their families, but just to kind of sit around gathering, chatting, gossiping, slandering, all that kind of thing. And so it's a serious problem in the church. Okay, so gossip is serious. So then you've got to ask a really important question. What is gossip? What is gossip? Have a chat. Try and answer the question. Make a definition up. Any old definition. We've just used the word. What is it? Okay, just so we get to some of the other discussion points, we need to keep moving on. If you're really resourceful, you might have just read ahead slightly, or you might have looked at some of the texts and tried to help you with your definitions. But somebody, and it'd be much more fun for the recording if you use the mic, but if somebody wants to kind of give me their definition of gossip in a kind of handy phrase, someone who hasn't read the book on gossip will be handy. Yes?
A deliberate, deceitful act of stirring or betraying confidence.
Deliberate or deceitful act of stirring or betraying confidence. That sounds pretty good. Any other definitions in a sentence or a couple of sentences?
We got talking about someone or something with a wrong heart motivation.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Capture some of the ideas. Anyone over here got anything? Stuart's got something.
Saying something that doesn't need to be said.
Ooh, yeah. difficult definitions about need, but yeah, saying something that doesn't need to be said. That could cover other things, but it certainly includes gossip. Any other?
Revelation of sensational, personal, and intimate details, which are potentially denigrating.
Yeah, that was good. I like all of those words. I'll let Steve say it again. It had the word denigrating in it. I'm sorry. I wasn't looking.
Sorry. Revelation of sensational, personal, and intimate details of someone which are potentially denigrating.
Denigrating is D-E-N. yeah. That's not gossip. That's called insult. patronizing. Okay. So looking down at the notes, Caroline, I could like feel your eyes burning into the back of my neck without even looking. That's sensational. Yes.
I don't think it necessarily has to be something denigrating, but just something that isn't meant to be spread around.
Yep.
It can be something, you know, quite innocuous. But if you've been told that or shared in confidence, then if you spread it around, then that's not right.
Yep. Very good. Yeah, I mean, those are all really good definitions. The bit I've got under the heading there, what is gossip in the handouts, is those kind of three ideas. And it begins with that kind of definition that it's to do with bad news. Generally speaking, gossip in the way that it's defined in the Bible is to do with bad news or bad reports or bad information. So it's there is a category of good news, you could say, where when we look in the definition in a moment, it still might not be something to share. But generally, we're talking about bad news. So, you know, if you accidentally kind of let slip that someone's pregnant, you know who you are, that may be gossiping. It's basically good news. It may be unhelpful because, you know, it's too early to say and all those kind of things. So, you know, but it's essentially good news. But broadly speaking, gossip is talking about bad news, not generally sort of good, exciting news, which is generally meant to be, you know, shared and celebrated and so forth, and, you know, not generally supposed to be sort of kept under control. So it's generally about bad news. And looking at a couple of the sort of key ideas in the book of Proverbs, which has quite a lot to say about words and a lot to say about gossip, it's these sort of two categories. First of all, the idea of slander, which is there in the word, not so much in the definition, but in Proverbs 11, 12, and 13. It kind of has the second definition in there as well. But it talks about the lips of the righteous. No, I'm the wrong one. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense. So the idea of kind of running down your neighbor. But the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. And there is the idea of belittling, deriding, doing down your neighbor. And there in the actual word used for gossip, it's sometimes the word used for grumble. Sometimes it can be translated slander. So it's damaging the reputation of somebody or just talking about somebody in a negative way. Now, that's not to say every joke you ever make either about someone or to someone is gossip, but that sort of sustained assault on someone's personality, doing them down by what you're saying, is a form of gossip. Giving evidence about how rubbish they are in this or that is a form of gossip. So that's one definition, to do with belittling, slandering, grumbling, those kind of word families. You okay with that one? And we want to come back on that one? Say anything about that one? The sort of slander, doing down, damaging the reputation. Okay. And the second, which is the point I think Ruth and Stuart made, which was to do with the idea of whisperer. That's there in the Old Testament word that's used for gossip, and it's in the New Testament word that's translated gossip as well. The idea of a whisperer. So someone who betrays a confidence, again there in Proverbs 11, but also there in Proverbs 20, verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. This is not saying, in general, avoid anyone who talks too much. We all have different talk rates per second. and talk quantities per hour. So this is not saying, you know, if you find a talkative person, you've got a jolly good excuse to just keep away from them. That's not saying that. It's someone who talks too much in the context of gossip, betraying confidence. Those kind of people who talk too much, you may have to take some measure to avoid, and we'll think about that in a minute. So slanderer, whisperer, those are the two kind of ideas. So it's sharing confidential, privileged, secret information that's sometimes also shared in secret. So it's secret information shared in secret. I think if you just think of that word slanderer and that word whisperer, you kind of got it. And whisperer is so evocative, isn't it? Just the idea of something that you would only whisper, something that you've got to kind of cover the side of your mouth to talk to somebody about, something that you can only discuss in the corner, because you know to be seen to be talking about that, to be publicly talking about that, is a shameful thing. So it's done in secret. It has to be whispered, because there's something about the words that can only be whispered. There's something confidential about it. Proverbs 26:17. Did I write that one down? Yeah. Which is a great proverb. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. So that idea of betraying a confidence is kind of extended a bit there to imagine in the Middle East, wild dogs grabbing them by the ears. Bit irritating for a wild dog. So, you know, here's a wild dog quietly sort of, you know, eating rats or whatever they were doing. And you go and annoy them. You stir them up. That's the point about the proverb. And you've now got this rabid, wild dog that's kind of running wild and attacking you and everybody else. And the proverb is just brilliantly saying, if you start betraying confidences and stirring up trouble with your words, you just unleash this wild dog of an argument, of a debate, of a shaming, or whatever it is that would go on. And in 1 Timothy 5:13 is the idea of a busybody, someone who's busy about talking about others. That's the kind of idea of a busybody, someone who's into other people's business, into other people's confidences, and inappropriately sharing them. Okay, so give me some examples of that. Just call out an example of doing either of those things, slandering or whispering. Call it out. Pardon? It could be, but I want something with more substance than that, because did you know, it could be, did you know that you know, Graham has achieved the Order of Merit of the British Empire, and that's a good thing. Not really, depends what it is. It depends really on the substance, I think. Sure, yeah. But I think the content is really important. Of course, the motivation we're going to think about as well. But yeah, I mean, did you know may well signal you're about to say something. But do you know what I mean? It's not the thing yet. Because it may be, did you know something really good? Did you know Claire's going to be baptized? Is that a gossip? Is that a gossip? Could that possibly be construed as a gossip? She's been baptized, it's all right. But do you know what I mean? That's a piece of good news. And even, yeah. So I think it may... culturally, it may as a trigger be suggesting that, but I'm after a bit more, like the thing you end up, the thing you end the did you know with. That somebody didn't turn up for music practice. Good one. Who was it? Quite so. Someone didn't turn up for music practice on time. Say again.
Someone's having an affair.
Yeah. It's not on, so you got away with that. Someone's having an affair. Yeah, as soon as these are quick sentences, I can just repeat them for you. Just save that.
Financial shock.
Yep, someone's business has just gone bankrupt or something, or they've been called out in fraud, something like that, something shameful in that sense.
Can you believe what so-and-so just spent their money on?
Could be. That then becomes a character downgrading. Yeah, good example. Who am I pointing at? Nikki, sorry. There's people calling for other people. No, it's good. It's good. I love it. No. Yes. Yes. Yep. That could be. That's beginning to be a bit more of a value judgment. It's doing somebody down, yeah, because you're then going to give the context about, well, what did they do? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Interesting definition of slander is not always saying untruths. The definition of slander includes things that are shameful, that are true, but that are said with the intent of defaming the person. So yeah, that could be. It could be talking about the fact that somebody got drunk. It could be talking about the fact that someone lost their temper. It could be talking about just a failure of some sort. Someone you know, just did a rubbish job of this or that, and all those kind of things. Someone's got a speeding ticket. Someone lied. Someone cheated on their spouse. Sometimes it can be more subtle than that. I haven't written it down as a text to look at, but there's a great example in a book on gossip in Psalm 41. Where they're talking about King David because he's sick, but they're kind of, it sort of begins with a sort of, you know, he's sick, which you might think, well, that's a nice thing to talk about, but it turns into, really, it's a kind of a he's sick, he's useless, or he's sick, maybe God's judging him, all those kind of things. So even a piece of news that you might think is a sort of thing to share for concern can sometimes be used by us as a thing to do someone down. You know, if you look at kind of political dramas and sort of intrigue, there's often really subtle little mind games going on between people who, and you kind of talk very kindly about someone, but actually, in politics, you're actually doing them down. You know, the idea of damning by faint praise, the idea of kind of suggesting they're not quite up to the job, but you really support them, those kind of things. So you can do that in church life as well. You can say, poor old Graham, he tries so hard. Caroline said this about my dancing once. That wasn't gossip. That was just the truth. But you can do that and in that way sort of say, oh, you know, I love Graham. You know, he tries so hard at that kind of preaching thing. But, you know, there are better people. And so you've kind of sounded quite kind, haven't you? But you've ended up actually slandering, doing someone down, defaming someone in some kind of way. Yes? Yes?
When you say, have you heard that so and so's left their house, or have you heard that so and so's going out with so and so?
Yes.
You are essentially confining your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Without feeling
it. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No, helpful. Yes. Yeah. There's an element of judging involved in it. Okay. So. Next question for you to think about with your neighbours, why? So we've kind of defined broad terms what it is. We're going to do some what ifs in a minute, but so why'd you do it? Why does anyone do it? Think why from a sort of theological point of view, but also think why from a sort of practical outcomes point of view, why'd you do it? Generally finished? Huh? Finished? Okay, cool. Right, let's move on. So, give me some whys. Why do we gossip? The answer sheet will kind of help you a bit. It's not got all the answers in, but it's kind of helping you a bit on the way. Yes, Tom? I've now named you on the tape.
So we were talking about escapism. In the sense that the reason soap operas are so popular is because often people might have fairly mundane lives, but they watch a soap opera to escape that or escape the troubles and look at someone else's life. And if you're gossiping, you're almost not talking about yourself. You're thinking, oh, yeah, but what about, you know, this person? Oh, that's so interesting. And you're sort of escaping.
Why is escapism even of any interest, if you know what I mean?
Because of the sensational aspect that you're more interested in these perceived exciting things or dramatic things going on in someone else's life.
Okay, that could be certainly one thing. It's more exciting. Yeah, so you don't have to self-evaluate. What about connected with this morning's sermon? You were just about to say that. You say that.
It's almost like the Pharisee this morning. It makes you feel better about yourself if you are looking at other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
And then it can give you a boost. Say, well, I would never have done that. Therefore, I'm a much better Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Other reasons? Yeah, sorry. You're so obvious, I can't see you.
What about jealousy and envy?
Yep, jealousy and envy.
In terms of, yeah, you're envious or jealous of somebody, say you bring them down by, you know, they only got a nice car because their parents paid for it, or they didn't get that job on merit because they knew somebody, that kind of, so it's an envy of somebody.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, very good, yeah. Other thoughts?
Our status linked with pride, so others go down and we go up in status.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're gossiping.
Okay, to do with improving our own status. Yeah, I mean, they're all good reasons and similar-ish. Which is who? Okay, sorry, Roz. Okay, will you pass him the mic and then he'll pass it back to you? You're all very democratic. Got better eyesight than I have, obviously.
It's all right, if you're going on to the next point, it's fine. It's not essential to say what I need to say, but I'll say it because I've got the mic now.
Yes.
It's just, if we have a wrong view of God and think that he is judging us all the time and we feel guilty, then possibly we were quite likely to be gossipers.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. That wasn't off point. That was helpful.
Well, I don't think mine's that good, but it was just, if you're in a conversation or relationship with the person before you, maybe you'll start to gossip because you're not loving the person that you're with enough, because you're not asking them how they are and you're not involved in the immediate sort of conversation.
Yeah, 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 good. Can be just a sort of selfish, disinterested kind of approach.
It can also be a way of bizarrely bonding, that if we get into gossipy conversations with people, there's a set, it perversely unites us.
Sure, yeah, helpful. Okay, so those were all really good reasons, and I hope you kind of wrote them down. I've listed a few more on the notes, and have a few more to say. So as a general principle, just to kind of to nail it in that way, that as in any sin, it's an outworking of our heart. So there's the why kind of internally, and then there's the kind of what happens, which is the kind of goal. But it all begins with the heart. Whatever goal we're seeking, whatever damage we cause, it all begins with what are we seeking and why are we seeking it. So it begins with the heart, as Jesus says in Matthew 12:34, that's where, and in Mark's gospel as well. Where does any sin originate? It originates in our hearts. It's the root, our affections, our feelings, our goals, our gods. So it starts in the heart. That great definition which Roz mentioned earlier, Proverbs 18:8, which is on the sheets there for you, which says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." And choice morsels sounds kind of better than it is. It's a word that pretty much means something that gives just instant satisfaction. There was some sugar for tea yesterday, and one of the children we were with kind of broke the sugar packet apart and had some sugar. That's instant satisfaction. That's the kind of a choice morsel that immediately you get the kind of sugar rush. That's the idea. You know, the cheapest possible breakfast cereal that kind of instantly hits the spot. That's the idea of a kind of a choice morsel. And the point is that gossip is a bit like that. So it's something that you swallow greedily for instant satisfaction. And ultimately, though, it's not really got any substance. It doesn't actually, in the end, do you any good. That's the point about it. So that connects with what Tom was saying in terms of escapism. It can be just for entertainment. So some other reasons, which are not on your notes, but just to kind of lay them out for you. It could be to do with boredom. You just talk because you can't think of anything else to talk about. And so the have you heard, as Ros was saying, ends not with have you heard some great piece of news, but it's have you heard, and you can't think of anything other than some bad news about someone, some bad report about someone, some bad analysis about someone. So it can be just through boredom, just to entertain ourselves. It can be through pride, which we've really talked about already, comparing ourselves with other people. It can be through insecurity. So a bit like Sarah was saying, sometimes we use it as a way of bonding with other people because we're feeling insecure in the relationship. We want something that makes us seem valuable to the other person. So we give them this bit of information which kind of improves ourselves. So it's because of our insecurity, improves ourselves in their eyes. It can be just through anger, can't it? You know, sometimes people do wrong us and we are angry about it and we just want to tell someone because we're angry and we want to get revenge. Sometimes it can be hatred that we actually hate somebody. And so we, as soon as a piece of information about that person comes to light, we want to just kind of plunge the dagger in because ultimately we're not loving them as we should. Satan has got kind of hold of us. We're plunged into hating them, so we plunge the knife into them. Lust for entertainment, I think we've already talked about already. I think one probably for leader kind of people is control, which is always kind of, you know, you always blame leaders for wanting to control too much. But in particular to do with gossip, I think the danger is that you want to control the story. So it's quite a subtle one. I mean, just to not to give an example, but to give an illustration of how it happens. Sometimes we know the facts of a story. So I'm just talking about being a church leader because I am one. But sometimes as a church leader, there's somebody, perhaps not in this church, but there's someone in another church, and you know the full story of, you know, why they had to leave that church or they left this church, and you know why they had to leave this church in its kind of full detail, but there's loads of people in this church who still love that person and think they're amazing and so forth. And you want to control the story. You want to grab hold of the story, and you want to replace lies with the truth. And sometimes it is appropriate to do that, but sometimes the goal is not truth. The goal is controlling the narrative, so you constrain it to what you think is the truth. So can you get that? Sometimes you just want to control the story. Sometimes you want to control people, but often it's just that you want to kind of control the story. Sometimes you want to get revenge. I think we've spoken about that already. Sometimes you want to stir up trouble. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." Because of our bad hearts at times, because we are full of kind of insecurities or hatred or anger or resentment, we will want to break up friendships because in some way we either want to get revenge on that person or we want to get their friend back on our side in some way. And we think by kind of sowing chaos that somehow that might kind of fall down, like everything will be thrown up in the air and it'll all fall down and it'll all be slightly better for us. Okay. I was looking for one that said about a fire starting, but I don't think I'll put it in there in the end of the text about that. But there's a similar proverb about starting a fire. I know it's in the James text, but in one of the Proverbs texts as well, about the idea that often the gossip is the fuel for the fire. So you're fueling a feud. So you're giving more kind of energy to it. So there may be a disagreement between people that's basically dying out, that's basically been resolved, and it's like a fire that's going out, and you're just kind of pouring petrol on it to make it flame up and go even more. Okay? So those are some of the reasons. And the thing is, if you know your own heart a little bit, you would know that it's not always as straightforward as that, because it's not as though you kind of outright have one of those kind of ugly looking reasons. Because you're all kind of saying or thinking, yeah, those are really horrible reasons to say anything. And it's not as though that we always have a kind of full, clear, 100% clear picture about what the motivation in our hearts is. But by just calling out like we are this evening, it kind of starts a whole process of questioning what is our motivation, the why. And kind of when you leave this place, I think it's going to be that the most important question for us to think about is the why question. We can't always diagnose all the detail of our hearts and everything else, and we can't always quite understand motivation because our hearts are very deceitful. But we can at least identify purpose, can't we? We can at least say, and we may get it wrong sometimes, why. What actually is this going to achieve? So, that's going to be important as to the why gossip. Well, the why question is really important. Why? Why are you saying this? And think of a good purpose. And if you can't think of a good purpose, don't say it. If you think of a good purpose, but you're not quite sure about it, then it maybe you need to talk to some other people about whether that is a good purpose in general. Anyway, we'll come back to that in a sec. Okay, so those are the whys. Another question for you to chat about is, what can be... Oh, sorry, there was the last point, actually, which I forgot to say, which was, I suppose, more a fundamental about sin, is that we like to believe bad stories about people. It's almost part of the fall that we believe the lies about God, so we also like to believe lies about other people. So, discussion time. What can be good and genuine reasons for sharing bad news? Are there any, ever? What are the dangers and the limits? When does sharing information cross the line to gossip? So you need probably about 10 minutes on this, because this is kind of a fundamental question. What can be, if there are any, good and genuine reasons for sharing bad news, and what are the dangers? And that will lead us into a bit the what if questions, or the what about questions. Okay, I know we could talk about this for a while. Do you need longer? So some what abouts. Obviously there's some in the notes you can think about, but can you think of... And let's kind of test these with each other a little bit. Good and genuine reasons for sharing bad news. And then think about dangers and limits. If you even could think of a good news. So if we define gossip as sharing bad news, which could in some way defame somebody, or is a confidence, something that was perhaps not intended to be shared, or something that's not generally known. So we define it in that way. And we define it as the motivation of a bad heart. So, but in diagnosing that, you couldn't say all bad news shared is gossip. So is there any ever good and genuine reasons to share it? So give me some. Perhaps you haven't got any. Yes, Ali?
So we had an example of where if Noah told one of his friends a secret and they told the teacher, it would be okay if the secret was something like Noah had stolen £5 from somebody.
It's a really good example, and my brain can't process that quick enough to work out whether that's okay.
It's bad. It's a secret, but it's bad news. But it's the right thing to tell the teacher because it was stealing.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for having me out with that. Yeah, I was just struggling with that. I suppose I was struggling with my whole cultural background of like you'd never do that. Otherwise, you get beaten up by the bike sheds. That's the sort of school I went to. So I'm trying to sort of process that and think, it's all right, Noah, you won't. But
I think sometimes the person concerned wants you to let other people know.
Yes.
And so they ask you to share it because they can't do it themselves for whatever reason.
Quite so. So a good and genuine reason if you've actually been asked to share it for some reason. That's really helpful. I'll mention it in my notes in a minute, but yeah, really helpful. It's Caroline. Thank you.
Prayer's a really big area because there's bad news like you might be ill and that sharing that in prayer is a good thing, but there's also a massive danger to that as well.
What would the danger be?
So if you take, not that situation, but you take the situation of prayer where you might pray for something in a more public meeting that wasn't something that you had the to do the
authorities, right? The permission. Yes, good word. Yeah, yeah. You've broken a kind of an explicit confidence where that's been asked. Are you shaking your hand?
We were talking about if there is something that somebody is doing that is either endangering themselves or endangering others, mm-hmm. that ultimately you're answerable to God, mm-hmm. and it may be important to share it to either for that person's own safety or perhaps the safety of other people that that person is behaving badly against.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, sorry, Sue.
No, I just think that in that case also, if you're doing it from a Christian point of view, there must come a time when you are actually going to tell that person that it's a confidence that's been shared which is against your personal beliefs and you feel that they need help. And you're actually going to tell somebody else. I mean, if you're going to share it, you need to tell that other person.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. I agree that. Yeah. About telling the person. I suppose why I was looking a little bit sceptical was because sometimes in very serious matters, the person doesn't want to give permission as such. So you may have a church discipline issue where the person may not want to give permission for the information to be shared. But why would we sometimes share some information about the behavior of somebody that's not good in a church meeting? Why would we do that? Is it just so we all have a choice morsel to consume?
That person is involved in something, but maybe not a public place may not be the place to do it, because you can't control how other people process information and where you're leading other people to do it. So actually publicly might not be the best place to express concern.
This is true. The difficult challenge, that's the opposite, but it was fine. You were saying why it might not be good to share in a church meeting, for example. Yeah, no, it's good. It's fine.
We've had to do it, though, thankfully not that recently, haven't we? Where actually the behaviour of the person severely affects the body of Christ and his reputation and and their ability to be respected as a leader or something like that.
Sure.
And it's taken after much heart-searching and with much grief.
Yes, and it's the why question is really important then, but sometimes the why is that if it's a church discipline matter, often the whole church, well not often, the whole church needs to decide on it. So, you know, generally speaking, the elders can take a number of decisions. There can be a kind of a discipline of perhaps withdrawing somebody from a ministry because of something that's happened, and you don't have to share the whole story besides that. But if it's the discipline to the point of saying for good and beneficial reasons, we think you should be excluded from the church, because your behaviour is so serious, and it talks about that in the New Testament, then you've got to have a fair process where you share with people some information so the whole church can make that decision. And so we can go to that person and say that, you know, the whole church is saying this, and we want you to return and to repent. And that's what Jesus talks about. So, you know, when Jesus talks about the discipline process of, first of all, you go on your own, and then you go with a brother or a sister, and then you go with the whole church, sometimes with the elders, if you look in Timothy about the process, but, you know, with the elders and then the whole church. So the whole church can only go if it knows something. You can't just say, yeah, we elders want to go and discipline this person, but we're not going to tell you why. It's a bit silly, isn't it? So in that case, but that's a bit of an exceptional case. So I got a bit lost in that one. Other reasons. Yeah, needing advice.
Depends on, like, your motivation.
So you said more than three words, so now you get the mic.
Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Like, depends on your motivation and who you share it with. So, like, you might share it with one of the elders or an older woman or someone and, like, say, I don't know what to do in this situation. What would you do?
Quite.
Obviously, if your motivation is so you can say, I've just heard this about somebody, obviously that's not a good thing.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
We were saying you might want to take advice for how you're responding in that situation, but there's a way of talking about the situation that's not gossipy, if that makes sense. So if it involves another person, there is a way of not running them down in seeking advice.
Yeah. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. It's really difficult sometimes. Sometimes when you tell half a story, it's even worse because the advice you get is only half the advice. because the people are working on a sort of theoretical little framework that you've just created with anonymity, and it doesn't entirely work. Sometimes it's really straightforward, and you can just say, if I had a situation where, what would you do? That's brilliant. But when it's rather complicated, there's a whole kind of narrative sometimes. So what, I don't know, maybe say something else, and then I'll go through some notes I've got.
But you can talk about how you're feeling in that situation, can't you? In terms of, like, you're not saying that how I'm feeling is right, but this is how
I feel. Yeah.
And I want some objective advice on how I'm feeling.
Yeah, sure. Good. Nobody over here? This little corner over here seems to have fallen asleep. clearly, all of you are not asleep, all right? It was just a... Yeah. It is.
Motivation really is at the heart of it.
It is.
My motivation, and you've really got to examine your heart very carefully.
Yeah, both motivation and purpose. So even if you can't quite work out why you're doing this, think about the why in the sense of outcomes. What will this achieve? So, which is a slightly easier why question than why, you know, what. Complicated, you know, how's my heart working?
What does it need to achieve?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we'll think about some good...
Is there an objective that actually this route of sharing this information is essential for that happening?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point, working out what the consequences are likely to be. Is that what needs to happen?
Yeah, quite. Good one. Ruth?
Oh, no, just what I was going to say, that, you know, for... us of more mature years, i.e. 60 plus, I think it, in some ways society has changed so much, and, you know, with WhatsApp, Instagram and all those sorts of things, that the whole way that we communicate with each other and the way that we share things has really, really moved in a very different direction to how it used to be. It's not all this, you know, just go and talk to somebody face-to-face. If you just put it sort of out there on a Instagram account or anything, you know.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's not gossip. But yeah, actually, it's even more damaging in some ways when it's just spread abroad into the ether.
Absolutely, and remember, as my children point out to me, WhatsApp is social media as well and texting, but WhatsApp particularly, because any kind of group messaging, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, other stuff that I don't know about, any kind of group messaging is a potential gossip network. It's social media, but just of a slightly more controlled form.
Sorry, this was Alexis's good point, but just maybe if someone comes to you for advice, I don't know what you think about asking them if they've gone to God with it first. So, i.e. there's a kind of time frame in that, and that they've processed it, so that when they are talking about the situation, they've sort of sorted out their heart a little bit, and it doesn't become sensational and like you said before, out of anger. Like, if it's an immediate thing and they've run to you, that might not be the best time to encourage them to keep on talking.
Absolutely. And it may be that they've quite so about going to God, it may be they need to go to the person as well. It depends whether it's a thing to do with that, the person they want to talk about, and they may need to go.
If you've got a genuine concern and love for somebody, then... if that person you suspected or were aware that they were struggling with an addiction, say, you know, alcohol, drugs, pornography, that sort of thing, then there would be surely a right reason for sharing that with somebody else in the right context. I guess if it was a fellow Christian, then you'd probably go to an elder. But surely if you have a genuine concern for that person, then those kind of addiction issues, whatever they may be, would be genuine reasons for speaking up about those.
Absolutely, yeah. The question then is to what purpose and to whom do you speak? That's the kind of crucial one. So, and when you've worked out what you're trying to achieve, then you can work out the who. So it may be, for that reason. I'll just go through a couple of what ifs just for a minute. Sorry, did someone else want to say something that had that? No. Just wanted to kind of knock these off. First of all, what if I just listen? You might say that. You might say, I'm not a gossip, but what if I just listen? Proverbs 20:19, Avoid anyone who talks too much. Listening to gossip can be as bad as speaking gossip, because in the end, in that one about the choice morsels, it wasn't so much about the speaking of the gossip, it was the speaking of gossip then provides the choice morsels for someone to absorb. So listening to gossip is a significant thing. So you may not be considering yourself a gossiper, but if you're listening to lots of gossip, you may need to think about that. We're going to think about some strategies just kind of at the end. Another one might be, what if I'm just sharing? What if I'm just talking about my life and the lives of other people? In a book I read, it talked about small talk, but it was an American book, and I don't think we always think about small talk as being a kind of a sort of bad thing, a trivial thing. Well, I do anyway. like it's kind of just inane, meaningless sort of, you know, weather talk or, you know, that's a nice bracelet or something. Maybe that's a really important and affirming thing to say. I don't know. But do you know what I mean? But I kind of get what they mean in the book, which is there's lots of just chatting about stuff, which includes a kind of mixture of good and bad news, which is of, you know, no great shameful content. But it's you can't sort of be worried about every conversation you have all the time when you're trying to sort of build relationships and, you know, talk about some things that have happened in your life. So it's not talking about sharing in that sense. But again, you've got to think about the why, because it may be you're just in the mode of small talk. You're just chatting about stuff. You have no great intent that you've kind of started with. There's not a massive piece of gossip, slander, some kind of scandal that you're going to speak about. You've got no intention of doing that. You're just chatting. But again, thinking of every little bit, kind of why, and sometimes kind of heading that off. The one you've already said already, which is, but what if I need some advice? I think that's a really important one, but trying to put some boundaries around it. So let's say it's true. I think it's true. Sometimes we need to seek wise counsel. A thing has happened to us. We've heard about something. We want to know what to do about it. We want to know whether we should share it. We want to know all kinds of things. So mostly we need some help. I need some help. You need some help. Sometimes kind of trying to figure out about that. So let's just assume that's a good and reasonable reason. Here are some kind of boundaries, I think. And I think it's fair, but it depends on the context. Start with our spouses, if we're married. Think about very close and trusted family and friends. Be really careful about who you ask for help. And again, this is a wisdom judgment, and it's not saying that we need to go around judging that people are gossips, but don't ask someone who you know isn't safe. It's just a fact. You just know some people are struggling with that a bit more than others. And so you've got to use your own wisdom and say, well, it's like, you know, giving a drug addict a syringe and some drugs. You say, well, I don't really want to do that, so I'm not going to go to advice for this person. Even if they may have some helpful information and insights on it, I know that they struggle with this. They will struggle not to tell somebody, so don't tell them. So be careful about who you tell. Keep it a very limited network if you can. Start with your spouse. Start with your family and friends, trusted family and friends. Really ask the questions about why are we seeking counsel? So what actually am I seeking counsel for? Is it because I want to take some action? Because if it's just you want to seek counsel, but it's of a sort of vague nature, just think about what is that? If I can't actually frame it into a question, which is, what shall I do? Or what shall I say in this situation? Then maybe don't ask until you can kind of frame a question that says, I've got actually a question about this because I don't know what to do. So don't just do it in a vague way. I need some advice. Even when you're asking advice, think about the person you're speaking about. Are you actually loving them? Are you treating them as you would want to be treated? If you were going through a situation and you knew that the person who'd spoken to you probably had to go and get advice from other people, you knew they had, what would you want them to be saying? How would you want them to be saying it? Just think about that kind of in the moment that you're speaking about it, thinking, okay, let's just think my head into the person who's got this bad news about them, and they kind of know, if they got any common sense, that I'm going to be asking for some advice. What would they want me to be saying, and how would they want to be saying it? It's really kind of useful to just think about that. That's part of loving people, isn't it? Kind of entering their world. As Ros or somebody said, discuss without any unnecessary details. Think about the necessity of any piece of information that you give. The challenge is that for most situations where you need to ask advice, if it's that simple, you probably don't need to ask advice. But for most situations where you need to ask advice, there's sometimes the need for some kind of detail, some kind of context, or you can't make any sense of it if you're trying to give advice, because you don't understand. You think, well, that didn't seem much, or don't know what you're talking about. You need a bit more, but be careful about unnecessary details. And as was said, also talk to the Lord about the situation for advice before you talk to any human advice giver. As somebody said to me yesterday, pray and wait. Pray and wait. Not a bad idea. Pray and wait. Okay, next what if is I'm asking for prayer. It's 7:43. Why do I talk back? It's never short. I'm trying really hard. I had no major speech at the beginning. Anyway, I'm asking for prayer is a great one. I've actually got an item of prayer for you this evening. We need to pray for Olivia and Liam, because I think they're going to get a divorce. Let's pray. It's all right, I was just making it up. So items for prayer, clearly there's a piece of bad news that someone has a serious illness and they're ready to share that. It's a good thing to share it with the church to pray for, because we believe that God hears and answers prayer. So it's a good thing, but be very careful, particularly about scandalous news, not just bad news as in sad news, but scandalous news. Be very careful thinking about that. And some really important things to think about are check your facts. Make sure you know the actual truth of the situation. Don't transmit hearsay or rumor. So make sure what you're passing on is true. Check your role. So you check your facts, you check your role. In other words, are you the right person to say this? Is it your news to share? Have you got implicit or explicit permission? It's not like for every piece of news you ever share in a prayer meeting or in a small group, you have to kind of make sure you've got a contract with the person that says, you know, they signed off to say that you could say it. But have you got implicit or explicit permission? And the higher the degree of perhaps shame involved in the situation, the higher the standard for permission. Does that make sense? But I think always you have to have kind of implicit permission, as in you think any reasonable person would think this would be a reasonable thing to share. Okay, so think about that. Check about the role. Check about the audience. Check whether the person you're speaking to is discerning. Be discerning about that. It may sometimes be right to pass on some information for prayer to some people and not to pass it on for other people. But in all this, we need to check our hearts about motivation, and that's what it keeps coming back to. Now, I want to just say something. It's not just to do with prayer, but it's to do with this general point about kind of deciding whether to pass on or not pass on. Because people need to know this fact. I think we dealt with in all the other things about whether people need to know or not, and what the purpose is. Sometimes, in my experience, people keep secrets as a means of control as well. So you just need to guard your hearts about that too, because some people keep secrets as a means of controlling information, of controlling people, of being the one who decides when something gets out. Now, it's not always, and there are often good reasons that we've already talked about why stuff doesn't get out, but you just need to check your own heart that you're not actually withholding information with some kind of mixed up control thing going on. Because it does go on, where you hold on to information that people would beneficially hear, or they would actually intelligently, helpfully pray about, and for some reason you kind of hold on to it, And there's all kinds of dynamics going on. And sometimes that can be a personal thing, that you don't share stuff about yourself. You don't kind of gossip, as it were, share bad news about yourself, and sometimes about others. So just check that as well. I think I heard it in one of the discussion groups, but it's a common thing said about, what if I'd be happy to say this with the person present, is another what if. That's only kind of half a good reason, because you may be so so bolshy that you're quite happy to say something quite hard to someone with them present. So that's not really a good standard to look at. It may be, and it's always helpful because it means at least you're prepared to be upfront, and it is something you probably have said to them directly, but you still need to think about, so why still am I saying this in front of other people? So it's only kind of half a good reason. Okay. Should we go on to the last bit? You're thoroughly fed up with this? So the last few things are just thinking about how to combat gossip, and then we'll just have a opportunity to say any kind of final comments. So in general, it's really helpful to see the destructive force of words. You see that from the James text, it's on the right there, about the power of the tongue. So be aware in combating gossip that your tongue is a powerful instrument. So Proverbs 21:23, guard your tongue. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. So if you want to avoid calamity, if you want to avoid sinning, then really check what you're saying. This is really important. It's great wisdom required. There's lots of grey areas where we need to pray and to ask God to help us. But at least think, I need to guard my tongue, because it's really powerful and it's really at times uncontrollable. At the real simplest level, repent if you gossip. And repent means you both say sorry and try and stop doing it. At the simplest level, some of you need to repent. Some of us need to repent. Some of me needs to repent at times. I meant to say at the beginning, but I'll just say it now in a sentence. I gossip sometimes. I need to repent too. I am constantly needing to go back to people that I've said things to and kind of apologize, try and retract, try and change, because I have got carried away. It's a danger that we all face. You're not to be sitting there thinking, these guys have all got it sussed, they're all giving the right answers, so they must have it all under control and never do it, but I seem to be a bit out of control. No, actually, I reckon all of you struggle with this in some way or other. So all of us are both work in progress, but needing at times to repent. So repent. There's no shame in that. The shame is in not repenting when God points something out to you. Sometimes we need to avoid situations or people who cause us to gossip or gossip themselves. Now, that's really hard because there's all kinds of other dynamics going on about, you know, are you being a good friend to this person and all that stuff. But sometimes you just need to avoid situations that you know the ingredients mean this group of people, this bunch of men, this bunch of women, with the context of what I know is going on, when we get together, we will gossip. I know it. So just don't go. Or avoid it by being the kind of slightly awkward one in the group who says, I'm not sure we should be talking about this. I don't know. Maybe we could just talk about why we're talking about this before we carry on talking about it. And you're going to be like, you know, the classroom SWAT or whatever, and everyone's going to kind of, but, you know, get over it and get used to it. And maybe if you do that 5 or 6 times, people start to think, I better do that as well, because they're right. And sometimes you'll hear an answer, and there'll be a good reason why you carry on, and you carry on. But then you've done it, haven't you? You've gone through a process together and held yourselves accountable. Don't assume that you always know what you're doing. I need loads of people in my life who say, you shouldn't have said that. You need loads of people in your life who say, you really shouldn't have said that. Because we're not going to get it right every time and first time. So sometimes we need to avoid, sometimes we need to be that person who's helpfully speaking into that situation. But if you're the person who says that, don't be pompous, don't be self-righteous, don't assume you've actually got the answer, because sometimes that just becomes a destructive power play in itself. All right, we definitely shouldn't be talking about that. And then you set yourself up as the kind of higher authority. Ask questions, probe a little bit. Don't just make an absolute statement, we shouldn't talk about this. Ask, probe, question. I'm not sure this is helpful to continue talking, but maybe explain why you want to. How would you feel if someone said that to you? How would you feel if someone said that to you? Would you be all right about that?
Be a bit stunned, but then actually there's some release in it almost. If one person's saying, is this okay? It causes you to stop and think.
Yeah.
Doing perhaps isn't. But of course it's going to sting because it's a pride thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time you just haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
So they'll ask you and you'll go, actually, no. And then you're trying to work it out.
Yeah.
That is usually something bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, no, I'm only doing a hesitated yeah because, yeah, but always as the questioner being humble too. So, sometimes I've just observed situations where the person gets so hold of the idea that gossip's a bad thing that they become the kind of reformed smoker who's sort of just assuming anything, any conversation is wrong. And that then becomes unhelpful. Or if you just simply say, just the way sinful human beings work, if you just simply say, we need to stop talking about this immediately and we need to pray about it, it's much better to take someone with you as to why you need to stop and pray about it rather than becoming the authority that then says, stop talking about it, we're going to pray about it now. Sometimes you might judge it's so bad that you have to do that. And, you know, that's for you to judge. And you may have that role and be in a position where you can do that. Sometimes you need to lead people with you, and you might be wrong. Probably you're right, because most often when our instinct is that we're not sure we should be talking about something, there's probably something to question. There's probably something that needs uncovering first. There's other things you can look at there. I think we'll probably want to get to a bit more general stuff. But if it's to do with power, recognize that real power comes from God if you want power over people. If it's to do with being contented or wanting revenge, remember that who you are in Christ, and remember that it's God who brings about justice. Leave justice to God. For you show mercy and grace. Sometimes there is justice to be done in the sense of the truth has to come out for some reason, but make sure you absolutely know why truth has to come out, and never for you to be the one who becomes the judge and jury over things. Also about people, believe the best. Try and construct a picture that says, and sometimes you can overdo this, but try and think, you know, that there was a good reason they did that. You know, if some child is hitting another child, you know, it's hard, but you might even think about a whole sequence of events that led to that, and you can say, well, you know, it was a pretty difficult day, and you know, this happened over here, and this happened over here. Try and construct the best story if you can, but without being silly. But that's always helpful. So, and also believe the best. If someone explains why something was done, then don't always assume you know motives. You know, motives are hard to read in other people. It's a really bad thing to judge other people's motives. Great to see you guys. No, seriously. Thanks for coming, Noah. And commend the good in people. And Ephesians 4:29, really helpful verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, which is bound to include gossip, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Just think about that. It's pretty high standard, isn't it? What you're saying, a bunch of you having a coffee together, having a beer together, having a lunch together, and you're saying some stuff, is it beneficial to them or to the person in some way? Only use words that build people up for their benefit. And similarly, the 1 Thessalonians passage that's mentioned on the notes, and loving each other deeply, which will often cover over and ignore things. If you are the one being gossiped about, often love is needed there, often forgiveness is needed there. Sometimes you are being sinned against, and sometimes it's not gossip for you to go back and speak about what's being spoken about to do with you and confront it as a sin in the way we were looking at to do with speaking with people and offering and receiving forgiveness. But just to finish on what I'm saying, and then just a few more minutes just to say a few things, for you to say a few things. We all sin in this area, and there are things to repent of and things to do. But what if the burden of what we were saying to each other, the big proportion of what we were saying to each other, was about the gospel and about Jesus? We may not get it all ways right about bad news that we share, and we may ask for advice when we don't need it, and we may share information when we shouldn't, but let's just deal with proportion and statistics for a minute and say, if we spend most of our time when we gather thinking, not like, you know, I'm in a community group, Bible study, house group thing, that kind of mode, but just thinking about Jesus and about the gospel and about how it applies, the thing is, there's just so much to talk about. If you want entertainment, talk about how Jesus applies. Talk about heaven and hell. Talk about all the questions that you want answered, all the questions that you find difficult to answer. There is so much stuff to talk about, and life is pretty short and uncertain. There is so much stuff to talk about. You know, I spend time in evangelist courses and everything else, and there are loads of questions that are really hard to answer, and most of you guys haven't got the answers to them either. And sometimes it's because there ain't an answer, but sometimes it's because you know, you spend time talking about some other too. So think about some good, wholesome, useful things to talk about, which are not sort of constrained to sort of a sterile Bible study, but thinking about how you build people up, how the gospel applies. Talk about your life. Talk about the challenges of your life. Talk about how can I serve Jesus, bringing up my kids. How can I serve Jesus, being a husband, being a wife. Talk about that. You'll run out of time. The coffee will get cold. Everything will get sorted. Just talk about those kind of things. And of course, you'll still make mistakes and you still get hurt sometimes and you'll still hurt other people. But give it a proportion. And so, you know, when you meet with your friends for a coffee, or you meet up for an evening, go out for a meal, just kind of think. And sometimes you've got to reflect and repent at the end of the evening and say, what did I spend most of the evening talking about? And say, come on. I want to talk about Jesus more. So why didn't I? Well, because it's a bit awkward. Well, get over it. You need to start talking about Jesus more, because it's going to be much more useful than talking about Joe down the road, Jim down the road, Jemima. We haven't got any of them down the road. Sorry, we have. No, sorry. Cool. Do you want to say anything else? That was a bit of like a passionate end, so you probably don't feel like saying anything now. But do anyone want to kind of add anything, any qualifications? Share any news? Ho-hum, I was just joking about it. It's really bad. Carry on.
No, we were just talking about how you actually check your heart. What does that look like?
I think it looks like asking a series of questions to do with, how would I like this news shared if it was about me? What am I actually trying to achieve? I know I keep coming back to this, but what am I actually trying to achieve with this? And is that a good motivation? Is that a good outcome that I'm looking for? And then probing a bit deeper, which is what I was talking with Steve about, is harder, but asking questions about not so much what am I trying to achieve, but trying to think the why question is to, am I doing this because I want to break a friendship? Am I doing this because I need people to think better of me than that person? Am I doing this because I think that person's got a bit too big for their boots and needs to be kind of brought down? Am I doing this because that person hurt me and this is my one golden opportunity to get back to them? Or am I doing this because I love the person I'm telling, and I love the person I'm talking about, and there is actually some good beneficial reason for sharing this piece of news, for prayer, for advice, for information that they just have to know, so they can help me trying to love this other person by dealing with them in some way. Is there a good and noble purpose that will build them up that I can rationalize? You might rationalize it, you might make the good purpose, and you still screw up. But look, you started by asking the question. You started by asking those series of questions. You started. Yes, Steve, sorry.
Will the outcome glorify God?
Yeah. Will the outcome glorify God? Which, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
On the really plus side, you know, like being in the world but not of the world, really rubbish at all of this, and this is really challenging. But my kids go to Rooted, and there's an older girl there who they talk in really glowing terms about because she doesn't ever post anything awful on social media. She is in the group and never says anything bad about anybody, and it's made a huge impact.
Sure.
And not only just the way that she is, which they really admire, but they actually say she's not annoying either. So she's managed to get this good balance between being a friend that is different from them, but somehow she's got their admiration. And I think that's a really challenging thing for us to be able to do as we go through life, to still be in our non-Christian groups of friends, which is where a lot of us are in our work colleagues.
Sure.
You've got to get that balance right, and I think that's a challenge.
Yeah. Apples of gold, words that are helpful and build up, yeah?
Based on where the word gossip fits in Scripture.
Yes.
I understand what gossiping the gospel means.
Yes.
But should we be using the word gossip?
No, it's a bit of a kind of funky little way of putting it. To be honest, the old English derivation of the word for gossip is slightly more positive. It is to do with sharing news. And when the disciples spread down in after the persecution in, I don't know, Acts 5, 6, 5 maybe, there was a famous commentator who used that phrase, coined the phrase gossiping the gospel, because it seemed that the Christians spread out and they chattered about the gospel wherever they went. And gossip has in English that kind of slightly more positive meaning as well. So I was slightly misusing it, but correctly in English, but not really in terms of the biblical definition. There's a proverb that, look it up, that it talks about apples of gold set in, you know, I don't know, plates of silver or something is an apt word, something like that. I think it's one of those things, and I want to give you all permission. I want you to kind of give each other permission to say, you know, it might be a bit kind of clunky, but you all have permission to just slightly call each other a little bit and just kind of see how it goes. Don't be judgmental. Don't be self-righteous, but just see how it goes, and kind of in your heart, say I give myself permission to both question and be questioned, and to answer back, and to say no, there is a good reason why I'm sharing this, and here it is, and to allow that to be questioned, but also as the questioner, respect people who say that too. But you have permission, not my permission. You have God's permission to do that, because it's all about how we love and build one another up by speaking the truth in love.